yat shrotah yo nuvakteha sanadrishcheta karhichit suyagyo nanoyamshete odayamanusho chata yat shrotayo nuvakteha sana drishtita karhichi sujayoto nanuvayam shete odayamanusho chata yashrutayo nuvakteha sana drishtita karhichi sujayagyo nanuvayam shete odayam anusho chata yashrutayo nuvakteha sanadrishchit karhichi. Yashrotayo nuvakteha sanadrishchit karhichi. Suyagyo nanuyam shete udayam anushota yashrotayo nuvakteha sanadrishchit karhichi.
Patajis?
Yashrotayo nuvakteha sanadrishchit karhichi suyagyo.
The king named Suyagya.
Nanu, indeed, I am this. Shete, lies. Mudaha, O foolish person. Yam, whom? Anushochata, you cry for. Yaha, he who. Shrota, the hearer. Yaha, he who. Anuvakta, the speaker. Iha, in this world. Saha, he. Na, not. Drisheta, is visible. Karhichit, at any time. So this is the translation by Srila Prabhupada. Jamaraj continued, O lamenters, you are all fools. The person named Suyagya, for whom you lament, is still lying before you and has not gone anywhere. Then, what is the cause for your lamentation? Previously he heard you and replied to you, but now, not finding him, you are lamenting. This is contradictory behavior, for you have never actually seen the person within the body who heard you and replied. There is no need for your lamentation for the body. You have always seen it lying here. Please repeat. Yamaraj continued, O lamenters, you're all fools. The person named Suyagya for whom you lament, is still lying before you and has not gone anywhere. Then what is the cause for your lamentation? Previously, he heard you and replied to you. But now, not finding him, you are lamenting. This is contradictory behavior. For you have never actually seen the person within the body who heard you and replied. There is no need for your lamentation. For the body you have always seen is lying here. Now Prabhupada is going to give us some light with his transcendental purport. The instruction by Yamaraj in the form of a boy is understandable even for a common man. A common man who considers the body, the self, is certainly compared to an animal. Yasatma buddhi kunape tridan dandatuke saeva go karaha. But even a common man can understand that after death a person is gone. Although the body is still there, a dead man's relatives lament that the person has gone away. For a common man sees the body but cannot see the soul. As described in the Bhagavad Gita, Dehinusmi yata dehe, the soul, the proprietor of the body, is within. After death, when the breath within the nostril has stopped, one can understand that the person within the body who was hearing replying has now gone. Therefore, in effect, the common man concludes that actually the spirit soul was different from the body and has now gone away. Thus, even a common man, coming to his senses, can know that the real person who was within the body and was hearing replying was never seen. For that which was never seen, what is the need of lamentation? Srila Prabhupada ki Om Jnana Timiranjasya Jana Janan Shalakaya Chakshur Anmiritan Jaina Tasmaye Shri Gurave Namaha Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So first of all, thank you once again for this opportunity to share my humble realizations with such an exalted assembly of Vaishnavas. I pray that I may say something which is useful for all of you. Just to give a little context, the seventh canto has started with two questions. The questions are coming from the previous canto. And the first one is about if the Lord is really equal to everyone, if he is impartial. And this question is coming, why is the Lord protecting the demigods and Indra, and he is here killing the demons? So that is the question. And this question has a very important relevance, because we may make a little inquiry ourselves, and if in our place, our job, our school, our service, someone is doing the same service as we are, but he's getting a higher salary, better facility, this creates a great agitation within us. And I can quote a sentence from my daughters. It's not fair.
They come with this universal question. It's not fair. She got two and I only got one. So that is something that affects from children to the higher realms of Satyaloka within the demigod. It's a big question. The fairness question. And the second question is, how come Shishupal, which was attacking the Lord personally, he got liberated, while Lord Vena, doing less than that, got doomed to go to hell? So these two questions are going to now create the scenery for the Srimad Bhagavatam to be told. And then this question is made from Parikshit to Shukadeva Goswami, who then refers to a dialogue which exists between Narada Muni and Yudhisthira Maharaj. Because this is Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is such an exalted literature that it starts from the point of pure bhakti. Srimad Bhagavatam starts rejecting all the motivated and mixed religions. And it's starting talking to the devotees. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is the scriptures for the devotees. Up to then, all the scriptures, they are all encompassing, and words like the divine, the supreme, is used to have everybody on that page. But as it progresses, it comes to the grounds where the Srimad Bhagavatam is really talking about the most supreme and purest message, which is to go back to Godhead in a spirit of pure, unalloyed devotion to the Lord. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's being told in such a way that the stories refer to other stories which have already illustrated that point. So to answer these two questions posed by Parikshit Maharaj to Shukadeva Goswami, Shukadeva Goswami refers to a conversation which is given by Narada Muni to Yudhisthira Maharaj. And here he describes the story of Hiranyakashipu and why he appeared. And then in the course of time, we came to understand that he's very upset with the death of his brother Hiranyaksha. And this is upsetting his plans. And this gives lead now to a full description of the demoniac nature. And this question is actually posed on the last verse of the first canto, it's the 7148, when the question is, why is such a big enmity between Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad Maharaj? So the sages have been answering these questions. And the first question about the impartiality of the Lord is addressed by saying that the Lord Himself is not affected by the modes. So here, Shukadeva Goswami defines that the Lord Himself, in the first verse of the first chapter, He defines the supremacy of the Lord, and that the Lord is transcendental to all the material nature. But the jiva, when he's in contact with this material world, it associating with the modes, it takes one of the qualities. And by taking on the qualities, it takes a certain type of work. The demigods, being engaged in protecting the whole universe, they are naturally more favored by the Lord. But just because this service has a nature which is protected, while the demoniac service is not at all worried about the welfare of humanity. In reality, there's a point where Prabhupada actually says, if you are really engaged in fully pushing the movement of Krishna consciousness, you are a demigod. So Prabhupada already equates that. Doing the service in alliance with the parampara is already a qualification to put the devotee in a demigod situation. And this discourse is building. And as it's building, it's clarifying what is happening in this present age by describing the nature of the demoniac nature and how it is the demoniac nature which is making the demons get in trouble. It's not the Lord who is personally not favoring them. they chose to associate with those modes, and therefore they are punished. Just like all of us are under the Indian rules being this country. And if we decide voluntarily to break the laws, like for example, not registering FRO, we get our troubles. Some of us have gone through that. But if you actually follow the laws as you leave, it's very, very easy. Actually, there was once, they only took me 5 minutes to get through the FRO, and I said, wow, it's not as bad as they say. So, according to what we do, then there is a reaction in the universe. So here, it's been described that the Lord actually is impartial, and the Lord actually, He is completely transcendental to the material world, and He says personally in verse 9:29 of the Bhagavad Gita, that He is enemy to no one, He is the well-wisher of all, and He is completely impartial to all. So He's defining His position. So that doubt being clarified, now the second question about Shishupal has been addressed, so I won't really go into that, how it's a pastime. And then the question about Prahlad Maharaj really brings in the demoniac nature. What is the nature of the demons? And right in verse 8 of the second chapter, it's been defined that one quality of the demons are they very attached to blood. And this will lead to a whole series of definitions of what is the demoniac nature. And I'd like to share with you because I find it very revealing to go through the sequence. In verse 8, it's defining that the demons, they get very attached to blood. So that's a quality of the demons. And you can see how the modern slaughterhouses, they are so full of blood. It's just a blood industry. If you see the videos, it's so inauspicious. I don't recommend anyone to see it. The little part I was able to see before I just got disease inside my mind, it's just about blood. There's nothing. It's just producing blood. Then in verse 11, the next strategy of the demons is thinking, the power of the demigods come from the sacrifice of the Brahmins. So let's kill all the Brahmins. So we'll stop the sacrifice. And in that line, Hiranyakashipu actually ordered to go to every village, kill the Brahmins, uproot the trees, and destroy all that is producing, so that civilization would stop. And then, finally in verse 12, a full picture comes to mind. And I'd like to hear what it says. Destroy good protection for the Brahmins and cows, and set fire to the places and cut trees wherever the Vedas is studied in terms of the Varnashram Dharma. So here the three elements which actually produce the demoniac nature is revealed. You destroy the protection of the Brahmins who is always worried about the welfare of humanity. You unprotect the cows. And finally, the Vedas being studied in the parameters of Varnashram Dharma. Then Prabhupada says, in his purport, the picture of a proper human civilization is indirectly described here. So Hiranyakashipu, being a demon, he knows exactly how to reverse by the mode of ignorance. Whatever would produce piety and peace, he reverses and destroys. So that's what we see around. And I'll just share with you the purport, which is so interesting. In a perfect human civilization, there must be a class of men fully trained as perfect brahmanas. Similarly, there must be kshatriyas to rule the country very nicely, according to the injunctions of shastras. And there must be vaishya
who can protect the cows. The words go indicates that cows should be given protection because Vedic, now look, listen to this, Vedic civilization is lost if cows are not protected. Prabhupada goes to this level of detail. Vedic civilization is lost if the cows are not protected, but instead indiscriminately killed in slaughterhouses. Such are the acts of demons. Therefore, this is a demoniac civilization. The Vanashram Dharma mentioned here is essential for human civilization. Unless there is a Brahman to guide, a Kshatriya to rule perfectly, and a perfect Vaishya to produce food and protect the cows, how will people live peacefully? It is impossible. This is Prabhupada saying. Prabhupada is not a man of impossible words. He even criticizes that. But here, he uses it is impossible. So the very essence of a peaceful human nature is being described here. And Hiranyakashipu is trying to establish exactly the opposite. So this is the answer to the question of Yudhisthira Maharaj, why Prahlad Maharaj, was there so much enmity between Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad Maharaj? Because Prahlad Maharaj is exactly trying to promote the welfare of humanity, the highest welfare of humanity, which is going back to God, developing love for Godhead. And Hiranyakashipu, being associated with different modes, he's actually promoting the reverse. Now, I just found it interesting because if you do research what's happening in the planet, actually this demoniac nature is expanding so much in so many areas, and cows is being equated to food, and food becomes an industry which is controlled by a few. And then this whole demoniac nature is just expanding to a point where farmers cannot exchange seeds, being called illegal and being prosecuted for that. So now, not only the imperialism, which is a very demoniac nature, has pervaded the economic system, but it's going down to the farmers and going down to us. Because when we go to a supermarket, we must buy what they give us. So that is what's happening in the macro administration of the globe. And that was the intent in an inter-galaxy plan of Hiranyakashipu. So that is the plan of Kali Yuga. And Prabhupada is picturing how to reverse it. So that is the scenery where this canto, this Srimad Bhagavatam, is being said. And then within the story of Hiranyakashipu, he is quoting another story, which is this king, Vishajagya, which is actually lamenting. And he's preaching this because it's upsetting his plans. His plans to dominate is being upset, so he needs to pacify the lady. So he's quoting Shastra. And from quoting Shastra, he actually brings this story from an old Purana. And that story is that Yamaraj personally assumed the form of a boy, and now he's preaching to these relatives of the king. And this verse today is referring to this. That actually they have never seen this king. So what is the use of actually lamenting? Because you're lamenting for something that you have never seen. You've seen the body, but the body is here in front of you. So what is the lamentation point? That is the point of this verse. And then Prabhupada goes on to say that even an ordinary man can relate to that, because he understands that when the body is finished, right, there's something else. He can't be just that experience. He must be something higher. And yesterday's class, it was portrayed how even a French philosopher could understand that he's not the body, but actually he's the mind. And the person giving the lecture was just referring that the reason he couldn't go beyond the mind was simply because he didn't have any information of the soul. And the only person who can actually give information of the soul is the person who has been empowered by the chief potency, who is capable of revealing the soul. And that is the spiritual master. So by the grace of the spiritual master, we come to understand that we are not the soul.
Sorry, we're not the body, we are the soul. So it's only by His grace He made this fortune for us. And that is the link between the jivas who are wandering this material world and the Supreme. The via transparent via medium is the spiritual master. And actually this question was posed recently in the forum. There was a post. There is one devotee who always every day posts, or actually twice a day, some quotes from Prabhupada. And she was referring to Krishna Kshetra Maharaj. And he was so inspired to meet Srila Prabhupada and understand this point, how he could go beyond the understanding that he was not the body, that he was something transcendental. That he asked Prabhupada this question. And Prabhupada answered, if you fully engage in pushing this mission forward, this will automatically, this comprehension that you're not the body but the soul will automatically come to you. And he understood that if we engage our senses in pushing this mission forward, automatically our senses are engaged, and therefore they have no space to be engaged in sense gratification. So that was Prabhupada's answer. Simply by engaging your senses, they're already engaged. The space is already occupied. So it's done. So therefore, the program that Prabhupada gave us is such a program that is automatically answering to all of the questions of the Vedas in terms of sadhana, in terms of self-realization. All the possible needs of the Vedas are addressed by the program Prabhupada gave us. Now a very important point is, then you must understand your nature. And with this point, I want to address the first question of being partial. Because the Vedas, they are really, really concerned about nature. So the big question is finding our nature, understanding what nature this body has, and how to engage that in Lord's service. That is our greatest mission. Because unless you know very well who you are, then what can you do? There will be so many questions of insecurity, because what can I do? But once you find your nature, it is so natural, because that's what that specific body does. And you can function so well. And we have so many examples in our society of devotees who have actually found their nature. And by actually trying to find perfection in that nature, they are so happy. I have an example living, every day coming to do his service as a gardener in where I live. The man is so happy, you know. He's doing a simple work of gardening for other people. But there's such a nobility about him. He's not worried that he's going to be the manager of the universe. He's just there doing his work and he's so happy. But if you don't know your nature, this will never come to you. Because you never know what you really can do, what to say over what you like to do. So then, by understanding our nature, we can actually come to the platform of duty, because it's just our duty. That's what that nature does, that's what we do. So the nature of a small child is to play. But understanding Prahlad Maharaj, small children come to Bhagavatam class and they make their life great. Right? Because we engage in a superior nature, the nature of the soul. And that's why the Bhagavatam now is starting to tell us how we can engage our conditioned nature in the service of the Lord. So, last verse also has a very important point in this relation to the nature. And that point is, it's said here, as fire, although situated in wood, is perceived to be different from the wood. So, wood and fire are being equated in some level. There's a level that wood and fire are the same. But at the same time, it's different. So here, the previous verse brought the point of being separate from the Lord. So we are separate from the Lord. But at the same time, there is something which unifies us to the Lord. So understanding our conditioned nature will help us to know what we can do in the service of the superior Lord. And that is the secret of self-realization. Because when you do understand that nature, and you can only understand that through listening submissively to the spiritual master. When you do understand, you can do so much. You can become such a productive person in life. And actually, happiness can come just by executing your duty. But as it was mentioned on Sunday class, at least satisfaction will be there. You'll be satisfied with what you have. You'll be satisfied with your karma. And my spiritual master used to tell me, you have to make peace with your karma. He used to say that. And by being peaceful with your nature, or at least with your conditioned nature, you can move forward and use that nature to understand God. You just be a happy person, and everybody will be so inspired to see you. So that's what we gain from these great personalities who have done that. They have acquired the implicit faith, as Prabhupada mentioned in the last verse, of the supremacy of the Lord. And they have voluntarily posed themselves as subordinate to the Lord. And they have not got confused, thinking that the post they have acquired is superior to the order, as Niranjana Swami likes to pose, as likes to speak. He spoke this in a very beautiful assembly in ILS. The post, the order of the spiritual master is superior. Therefore, I'm always subordinate to that. And therefore, I'm always humble. Because the power, the chief potency is coming from the spiritual master. I'm simply trying to assist him in his service. And if you do get that mood, then you get the mood of a whole sampradaya. And then you get empowered. And then you start to see that whenever devotees speak like that, they're so attractive because they're actually transmitting the potency of our sampradaya. And that's why Prabhupada in his poem is saying, I am an unqualified servant, but I'm simply trying to do the mission of my spiritual master. I'm simply trying to fulfill the desire of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. And the reason that is so potent, and every one of us when hear that feels touched, and at many times we can even cry, it's because that is the mood of our sampradaya. And by understanding and by recognizing the mood of our sampradaya, you can see it's genuine. And then you can surrender. So by surrendering to this parampara, we'll be so empowered that we can move forward the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that will be done by chanting the holy name of Krishna. And then that pleasure of associating with Vaishnava, of being the holy dham, studying the Srimad Bhagavatam, will be like a true pearl in our hearts. And everything that will be in our hearts will be the desire of the well-being of the person in front of us. This is what Srimad Bhagavatam is asking us to do. And this is why the demoniac nature is being so vividly and so detailedly described, so that we can eliminate any trace of that may be in our character. While reading, I could find so many of this in my own character. And it's so enlightening because it gives me the picture of how to eliminate it and how to accept that I should take to the mode of goodness. And by taking the mode of goodness, at least I'm in a platform where I can contemplate the spiritual platform. And by the mercy of Vaishnavas and Guru, only by their mercy, I can be then a progressive person in that path. So this verse is so enlightening because Yamaraj has that mood. And he's actually giving that knowledge. Even though he's being quoted by a demon, his intention was to elevate all those queens. And that potency is carried through. And that is why the Vedas are so special. Because even if someone approaches the Vedas with a materialistic desire, at some point, this person will get in touch with a genuine soul which will give him pure bhakti. So I'll end here, because there will be some questions. Yes, there is one here, Mataji, then there is one Prabhu over there. So there's a mic. Oh yes, the mic is here, sir.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, you said the chit potency comes from the spiritual master. What do you mean by that?
Sorry?
You said the chit potency comes from the spiritual master. What do you mean by that?
The chit potency is the potency which comes from the spiritual world and gives you that ecstasy in kirtan. Or when you hear a spiritual master saying something which is so relevant to your spiritual life, it touches your heart. What touched you was the chit potency which came through him. So that's the chit potency. Everybody has experience of that here in this room, I'm sure. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for your wonderful class, Prabhu. So, as what Prabhupada mentioned in one purport that you read, that in order to maintain Vedic culture, we need to protect the cows. So protecting the cows means not only protecting them from slaughterhouse, but also to make the cows happy. So the cows need to be brought to the grazing field. And now the fact that we face in Sri Mayapur especially, that so many big buildings coming up. And practically speaking, that Mayapur soon will become city. So there will be no place for grazing the cows. So how to maintain the Vedic culture if we don't make the cows happy, don't protect the cows properly, because Mayapur will become city very soon. Can you give a comment on that?
Sure. Thank you for your question. It's a very important question in the discussion, because we usually think cities are not part of the scenery, but they are. Dwarka is a city, and so many, Indraprastha is a city, and all of them protect the cows. So, your question is relevant in many ways. And one way which is relevant is that we must initially become aware that it's important to protect the cows. It always starts from awareness. And many souls have dedicated many years of their lives. Balabhadra Prabhu, he has been discussing this with Manaji for years. And he just posted on his forum recently the history of the scalp, how he did it, what he did, and many things he did. Now you see that so many people talk about that. So we can see that the topic has gone broader. Now we need to go to a third stage. What does it effectively mean to protect the cows? It's not just brushing them, that's part of it. It makes them happy. Making the cows happy actually means engaging them in Krishna's service. Because the only way any jiva can be happy is to be engaged in Krishna's service. So the cows can be engaged in Krishna's service by, one, making the scenery very beautiful and in the mode of goodness. Secondly, offering so many foodstuffs and elements for the pleasure of the Lord. Thirdly, they can procreate bulls who can plow the land strongly, and we can have so much grains. And the bulls, they can do so much. They can take care of our economy problems, transportation. Just take transportation. Make one simple taxi system from here to the Ghat and have 200 of our of that doing that. It's a good business, if anybody's interested. Engaging the bulls in producing energy locally, transporting the pilgrims inside, is ecological, it's clean, it's dharmic. The bulls are engaged. So there's so much scope to do that in a city. Can you imagine so many villages producing grains and supplying the city in harmony? So there's so many possibilities of that. But we must know what is our nature, how we can engage that nature, and what positively we can speak. Level one is awareness, that's very good. But in practice, what can I do? So, actually, if you look around the villages when they protect cows, the whole village is engaged. Cows is not a number. Cow is a personality in their family. And if someone travels, the cow can go to another villager. When he comes back, he takes his cow back. So there's a whole system of relationship there. And the cow science itself is so vast. If you go in a very small book called the Vrajvilastava on 8th verse, Nandagram is described. And there, Raghav Pandit Swami, he just says, for the pleasure of the cows, Lakshmi Devi went into the Kalda. Also the 8 cities went right there. So everybody today is looking for opulence, and that they're worshipping Lakshmi, Mother Lakshmi, but she's there already in Nandagram for the protection of the cows. So if we understand Prabhupada's words very clearly, he says without that protection, without teaching Vanashram Dharma, which means developing the qualities of Vanashram Dharma, we must be very clear on that. A Brahman being truthful, a Kshatriya being protective, a Vaishya being good in giving good things for humanity, not just anything which makes profit. I do something which has value for humanity. That is the value of a Vaishya. He's proud of that. Nobody makes a better ghee and milk than I do, and my cows are never slaughtered. That's his pride. A Kshatriya is proud that nobody in his kingdom is suffering. And there is enough rain by enough yagya made by the Brahmins. That is the quality of a Kshatriya. And the Brahman, he wants to teach, he wants to share the knowledge for the welfare of humanity. So those are the qualities you're looking for. And it will take time. Because qualities take time. Quality is not something you produce in China and sell in America. Quality is something which takes years of production. Take the Swiss watches. They lasted for such a long time. So, China is also getting up on quality, I heard. And now so many wonderful devotees are there, and such nice preaching is coming there. So, I hope I answered your question. One more question, we'll have a little time for that.
Juna vowed to avenge the death of Draupadi's kids by at the hand of Ashwatthama. He told her that I'll cut off his head and you can wash your hair in his blood and you can stand on his head to console her. And initially, she was enthusiastic about this idea. So the demons are attached to blood. So in what way is it different for a Kshatriya? Is that maybe their weak point, that they share this affinity for revenge? What is that? How is that different?
Okay, so your question is very relevant. Your question is, why then is if attachment to blood is a demoniac nature, right? Why would the Pandavas also be attached to blood in that sense, right? Okay. Yeah. What is that with Kshatriya? You see, the Kshatriya, he is very close to a Brahman. If he becomes too close to a Brahman, like Yudhisthira Maharaj, then Karna wouldn't fight him. He respected him but said, I won't fight you, you're too much of a Brahman for me. But a Kshatriya, in order to protect, he could hurt. But that's what a Kshatriya means. He can hurt to protect. But the emphasis is on protection. Hurt is a secondary nature. The demons, the emphasis is on exploiting. And he may protect to get his exploitation. So there's a big difference. So in the case of Arjun, he's simply referring to the nature of an kshatriya, an angry nature, which is allowed to kill. And he could use that resource to pacify Draupadi right there. But then Draupadi herself, she kind of, I'm not sure, because she has that feminine nature of being compassionate. As a Kshatriya, he won't be compassionate. But he will listen to a Brahmin immediately. So when a Brahmin steps in immediately, he can soothe the Kshatriya down. So that's a perfect system. At any moment, you may press the button and the whole system may equate. It's a wonderful system. North America have this system, like one button and another button, another button, but someone may get crazy and do all the buttons and then the whole destruction is there. The Vedic system allows a system where you can call in the Brahman and immediately he can pacify everyone. That is the potency of a Brahman. Jai. Okay, so end here, otherwise we'll be in trouble with this notice right here. So thank you very much, and I apologize if I did say anything which was not appropriate for the moment. Hare Krishna. Okay.